Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 315, part 2, the conclusion to Mistakes. Today is Sunday, October 27th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
You got to make it work. That's like working down here in this mission. There are times when you can't see how it's ever going to work, and somehow you just continue on. It's called faith. And you continue on, and you continue on, and much to the amazement, and I should add, and I will add, to the people that don't want it to work, it works. And so you can say, they ask, well, how do you make this thing work? Well, you see, we make all kinds of mistakes, and then we just keep modifying them until it works. And that'll satisfy them. Oh, sure. Guy makes all kinds of mistakes. I don't care. Hey, as long as it works. Bottom line, if it works, don't knock it. Right? Yeah, most of everything that's happened in here in this mission has happened because you tried something and it didn't work out. It was a mistake, and you kept modifying it until it worked out. And you weren't threatened by that. You know what I mean? You just weren't threatened by it. So, well, I'm not going to get threatened by this thing. I'm just going to go right on. Well, okay, now I'll see if this will work. And then you just keep right on and on. It's called persevering. It's called staying in. And in the popular term now is hanging in there. And of course, while you're hanging in there, you'll have people jumping on your fingers, trying to make you not hang in there. That's a mistake. Mark it down. When people jump on your fingers, when you're hanging in there, look out. That is a boomerang that will come back. Mark it down. God help us not to make that mistake. Now, Now, you know, these chain factories, well, I got this big chain, and I was thinking about it. I'd read years ago. And it's a great big chain that we use for, like, pulling vehicles, you know. They have one of these pull machines, and they pull on this chain to find out which is the weakest link. And it's the same way when they want to reveal the mistakes in workmanship. We have test pilots, test jets, test cars, test creams, test foods, test houses, test satellites that are going around, and moonshots, and, you know, mattresses, test mattresses. I'm going to go down and ask him for some of those. A lot of people down here need mattresses. Have you got any mattresses that you test mattresses? Give me all your test. No, I didn't say testy. I said test mattresses. Test guns. Test bombs. Some even test friends, like they do merchandise. But anyway, life itself is a test. We are now in this age, a lot of times, a bunch of guinea pigs for every product and every pill and every cream and every food and every TV show and every movie. They try every mistake on us. Well, let's see if this makes them happy. Give them this pill. Here's a happy pill. Let's see if this will take away stress. Yeah, try this pill. And they keep putting this together and that together, and pretty soon they got some kind of a thing that halfway works. See, they're trying to find out how much stress you can really take a lot of times. And if we don't squawk, they keep raising gas prices. Let's see how much we can raise it. Remember when it was going up there, $1.30, $1.30, what was it? What was the highest it ever went? $1.30, $1.40? Over here, down here, in the poor part of town, it was $1.73. They were testing you to see how much you could stand. Oh, here comes the guy. He's coming in the station. Okay, get the pump ready. The sign up, and then get up there real early in the morning and switch the prices. $1.10. And they have somebody sneak out there while you're at work. $1.12, $1.13. They're still driving in. And they're putting their own gas in, wiping their own windows, checking their own oil. Man, this is great. And then you got to pay for the air you get. Make them pay a quarter for their air. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Then you get around, get two tires done, and then that's out of air. You got to put another quarter in. They didn't get mad. Their tolerance is up. And they raise that gas to about $1.50 until everybody, they could see when they come in, their head would start glowing red, like the weather ball. We're going to have to take away some of your insurance. And each person is going to have to give up one day vacation, and they give their top officials $750,000. That's testing you. Just for a one-year raise, $750,000. And they're taking $2 an hour off you, and they get down to $5 an hour, and then you go on strike, and so then they throw you out the door, and then they get the people to come in for 4 1/4. They're testing you. And maybe for years, the general public was testing corporate bodies to see how much they would take. Union dues going up. They used to be like 50 cents. They were $1.50, $5, $10, $20. And your driver's license used to be $1.50. Now you go in with a motorcycle. What does it cost now? About $24? If you have a Class A license with a motorcycle? Pretty soon you'll be paying more for that than you do your license plates. Testing. Take one, test. Let's watch these guinea pigs to see if they'll take this product. Put it on TV. Crunchies. 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 Blown out of guns. Crunchies, crunchies, huh? I'll tell you something. People aren't as dumb as they used to be. They're not going to have crunchies. They're going to have oatmeal. They're going to go back to cream o' wheat. See, so you live and you learn and you start to catch up with a thing. You don't believe everything that you hear. People try every mistake on you just to see if it'll work and how much you'll take. Your kids do that to you, don't they? They stretch your patience and they try every trick in the book to get you screaming. It seems like when you get on the telephone, that's when they want to talk to you and they want to show you pictures. Huh? Did you ever get on the phone? And then all of a sudden, the kids come up and they've drawn a picture and they want you to see this picture. And they say, "Mom, I know you're on the phone and everything, but look at this picture." And you say, "Can't you see I'm on the phone?" Huh? And so then, to get the attention, they start fighting, pulling hair, wrestling, biting, pinching, clawing, scratching. That's a mistake. Because when Mom gets off the phone, ooh. It's going to be a hog pile, and you're going to be on the bottom. I used to know when I made mistakes, my mother would just look at me. "You made another mistake." Yeah, if we don't squawk, they keep raising the prices. Feed us more junk, show us more filth on TV. It's just like our kids, just like I said, seeing how much they can push you. Women's lib, homo parades. Years ago, they never would ever think of anything like that. Now they have a parade. "Oh, I love a parade, huh?" And they walk right down to San Francisco. Here we go. I mean, right down the street. Huh? Arm in arm, lipstick, kissing. That turned out to be a mistake, didn't it? We live in the more stress age, the 800 gram aspirin age. Did you ever see on TV? They said, "Doctors have determined that this particular medicine will blow the top of your head right off. You won't have a headache. You won't have no head." And so you see, many things are, I think, all old mistakes, and we know the results. A lot of times we make the same mistake over. Now we know what's going to happen when we have internal strife. In a company, in a church, in a family, we know that. We know what's going to happen when we are promiscuous. Venereal disease and AIDS, we know that. We know the results of unwanted babies and mental wards. We know the results of medicine cabinet freaks. We know the results of being lazy. We know the results of perversion as a diversion from boredom. We know the results from puffing cigarettes. Well, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you just got to have one more cigarette. Huh? We know, it even says right on the package, the Surgeon General has determined that smoking these cigarettes will cause your death. We know what'll happen from sniffing coke. And that's just like a candidate had just said. Now, one out of four people working in the auto industry are dope addicts. Was that a dumb thing to say, or was it a planned thing to say? Or was it a mistake, or wasn't it a mistake? I don't know. I... See, a lot of times people are living mistakes and they know they're mistakes. And they keep right on making the mistakes from pressure, from the run, here, there, and everywhere. And the less we think, the more mistakes we make over and over and over again. I thank God when a weak link shows us the weak link in our chain of living. I think it is a new revelation of how to live. Maybe you go along fine with everything, but one thing is your weakness. Maybe it's that flare-up. Maybe you're just a real calm, cool, collected person, but there's a certain thing that'll make you flare up. Maybe that's your weak link. Maybe that link should be missing, and you could just say, well, hey, there's a missing link here. Praise God for that missing link. Doesn't God do that with us? Take out the weak links? He does. It is a new revelation, I said, of how to live. It means the rich red blood of a brand new revelation. I mean, take it that way. If we've made an error, if we've done wrong, been unjust to one another or ourselves, or like the Pharisee, pass by an opportunity to do good. Let's call it boldly by its name, stinky. And go on. Don't use weak alibis or excuses to protect a sick self-esteem. And so if we've been selfish, unselfishness should make it right. Just reverse it, turn it around. If we've wronged, we should right it. If we've hurt, we should heal. If we have taken unjustly, we should restore. If we have been unfair, we should be just. See, regret without regeneration is nothing but another mistake. Don't make a mistake on top of a mistake. Make atonements for that mistake quickly. Even the Bible goes one further and says, agree with your adversary quickly whilst he's in the way. Why? So he'll get out of the way. And if foolish people and foolish pride stands in the way, we are aggravating, I think, the first mistake by a new one. Seems like some people's mistakes are never born singularly. But they are born in sort of a litter. You ever have somebody say that? When it never rains, but it pours? Does it seem that way? And maybe you're too busy looking at the rain. And maybe a little rain in your life will fall, but too much, it says, is falling on me. Don't get looking at the rain. Look for a place to get in out of the rain. So you can think about what you're going to do next. A person called me and they said, years ago I did a wrong act. Is it too late to make amends? No, I said, it depends on what it is. Well, what do you mean by that? He said, shouldn't I make it right? Shouldn't I go and confess it? And I said, well, you'll have to tell me what it is. So, I mean, I can't make a snap judgment like that. Well, he said, this is years and years ago, and it's a person from another state. Years and years ago, and a friend of mine got married to this girl that I was going with. And we had a child, and the child was adopted out, and it's somewhere in California or something like that. And I just want to go make it right and tell him that. And I said, well, that'd be the dumbest thing you could ever do. Yeah, but I got to get it off my chest and give it to somebody else. I said, sometimes things are, better left unsaid. Well, what would you say I do then? I would say that I would say it's time for you to shut your mouth. And just be at peace with it, that those things happen, it was a mistake, and go on with your life. I mean, it's been like 20-some years. Go on with your life, will you please? Seems like some people like to wander in the cemetery of the past. You ever been with somebody like to go and watch at the tombstones, and they'll go through there? Oh, here's a guy, now let's see. Oh, he lived to be 64 years old. And here's one, look at there, 101. Come on over here, honey. 101. Oh. Hey, here's one here. 1985 to 1987. Oh. 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 That's a new mistake. It won't antidote the old one. See, a lot of times the remorse paralyzes hope, corrodes the purpose, and deadens the energy. It's not moral hell for you. It will kill your soul, living in the past. They have these grieving clubs now. And if you lose a loved one, you go to a grieving club. Now, I have a friend that goes to the grieving club. He's been going to the grieving club for like 10 years when someone in the family died, and he goes to the grieving club. And they all sit there and grieve. Oh, those people are dead and gone, and they're up in heaven. They're gone. Well, how are you holding up under your grief? That's like you're crying and you forgot what you're crying about. And you say, I don't know what I was crying about, but I'll remember. I remember at my dad's funeral, my mother was there, and my brother was there, and my sisters were there, and the in-laws were there, and everybody was there. I was standing there, and I was looking at my dad, and I said, I brought up something. I said, now, you remember Dad doing this or that? And we got to laugh until the tears just rolled down our faces. I mean, you ever have a gut buster where you feel like something pops inside and it busts? And you can't contain yourself? I mean, you shouldn't be laughing. You should be living in the past there. And then I did my dad's funeral, and then later on I did my mother's funeral, and I brought up, I called the name of the sermon that I gave was My Mother the Windmill, because when she would come after us kids, she'd come after us like this. I mean, these people are gone, see. It's a selfish, I think, cowardly surrender to the past. We let it dominate our present a lot of times. It's a waste of motion. Instead of living it down, let's overcome it by a new and a better life and learning through experiences and mistake. Experiences are mistakes. Did you ever say, if I had my life to live over? Well, you're not going to get a second chance. I mean, no, the world has had enough of you. One time through is enough. Don't ham it up and try to go through a second time. I mean to say, if God can't change yet, why should we try? Let the past vitalize your future and turn it to good. Let the mistakes give us confidence. And also that we may have more self-respect and more self-realizations. Because these mistakes can turn into, after all, wise investments. They can be money in the bank of memories. Well, I remember when this same thing happened to me. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how it turned to good. Oh, that's why it's so important to live and experience things and don't live in one old mistake, and I made a mistake, and oh, God, just live there and die there. Hey, don't get into that, see? Well, here's how I dealt. God prayed about it, and God, here's how God worked it out. Don't go back and dream of what might have been. See, See, realizing mistakes is good, but realizing on them is better. The past is sort of like a tombstone pizza. You ever notice people always say, they look back on their life, they say the good old days? Why do people say the good old days? Because they're over. Sure they're good. Somebody else has to go through the same thing you did. They're good old days because you made it through. Oh, I remember the good old days. Huh? You kids will be saying that. You kids will be saying, remember the good old days? Huh? Remember the good old days when we went on vacation, we went up camping and all that? Weren't they fun? But you forget about all of the other stuff in between there, right? Like losing your moccasins in the mud. I mean, you know, the good old days. See, nothing good's happening right now, so we try to make the old days seem good. Oh, the good old days. Memories, childhood days, huh? How about these days? How about creating some new memories? Boy, wasn't that funny yesterday? And then go on to today. Boy, guy told me, remember when you were out there in the suburbs? Pastor Paul, remember how the Spirit used to move out there in that church out there? Oh, Pastor Paul, oh, those were the good old days. I said, they were? For you, but not for me. Because, see, I don't want to be out in the suburbs not doing anything out there. Or I don't want to be sitting around in perpetual prayer groups that don't do anything. I have to be busy. They were good old days for you, but I'm glad I'm out. God's delivered me, man. Thank you. Goodbye. They were good then, but they're better now. These are better days. Oh, guy told me, remember, we were in the army. Oh, golly, remember we go out. You're the type of guy, you weren't afraid of nothing, you know. Oh, we had so much fun. Oh, and I was in my album the other night, and I was going through the album, and I was wondering what happened to old Arnie. Oh, golly, wow, gee. Oh, remember Susie? Remember, well, what was her name now? Oh, yeah. I said, what? Man, I says, I'm having too much fun now. Bible says, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Those were a whole lot of mistakes I made, and I finally ended up, well, don't say it, one big mistake. Let me close this. Looking back, if only I would have waited, if only I would have went to finish college, if only I would have married so-and-so, Susie. Not you, Sue. Don't take offense, but I mean you're in around. If only I would have went to Hollywood. Oh, yeah. If only I would have bought that house. You know what that house is worth right now? And they forgot to tell you had to pay 30 years on that thing. Paint it, keep it up, scrub it, put this on, put that on. If only I would have bought insurance. If only I would have moved to California. My brothers and sisters always say, Paul, are you ever sorry you didn't move to California? Oh, I never thought about it. Let me sit down and see if I can actually really be sorry about it. Let's see. I'll try the best I can, because they want you to be sorry about it. See, let's see. What would have happened if I would have went to California? Well, let's see. Could have got a better job. I wouldn't be in this mess I'm in now. But you forget to mention you'd be in a bigger mess maybe out there. No, I can't really say I'm sorry I didn't move to California. Are you sorry that you left the Midwest? Fair's fair. Are you sorry? Come on, think about it now. Takes you 2 hours to get home from work on the freeway. It only takes me 1 hour and 45 minutes. No. See, those ifs are pretty slippery fish, aren't they? You cannot change the past. It doesn't belong to you. It's now that's ours. The tick-tock, tick-tock of the clock. Now is the time for salvation, the Bible says. Now is the hour for change. Start to change right now, because the present is the raw material and the past is a finished product, finished for good. There's nothing you can do about it. Are you ever sorry that you did that? Well, I mean, it's done. It's done. Does anybody ever ask you that question, Carolyn? Are you ever sorry that you'd made that move? And they want you to get all melancholy and tears to form in your eyes and sort of just let your whole face hang out. God, am I sorry? Put the coffee pot on. Let's go over it. Huh? Who's sorry now? Did you ever hear that song? Why not just go on with your life? Sometimes people don't want you to go on with your life. Isn't that right? Sometimes parents don't want their kids to go on with their life. They want them to stay little. They want them to stay home. And then the mother-in-law, she goes right over to the house over there, you know, she's meddling and everything. Or maybe you're the children, you're listening, and you don't want your parents to go on with their life. You can't go on with your life. You're my mom or you're my dad. I don't want you to go on with your... I don't want you to be down there. I mean, what do you ever see down there on the north side anyway? Huh? We try to direct each other's lives sometimes. Isn't that sad? Well, I think it is. See, no regret will ever enable us to relive it. But on the other road, always looks a little better, doesn't it? Huh? Doesn't it look a little better? Distant hills look so green till you get up next to them. A different car, doesn't that look better at times, a different car? Oh, you know, I could have been a singer, a great singer. I wish I would have taken voice lessons. What the other road would have brought, we do not know. Maybe an earlier death. We can't relive old mistakes, but we can make them the means of all. And I think of our future immunity from the folly that caused them. Sort of a vaccination. And so if we were mean yesterday, it should inspire us to be nice today. Doesn't that inspire you to be nice when you've just been miserable and mean and cantankerous? Doesn't it? And you go the whole day and you go home and you think, geez, I was mean today. I don't know when I've been so mean. I could have taken that guy's head and screwed it off and thrown it in the street. And so you... Next day, you're overly nice. It inspires you to be nice. And you go in, you say, morning. But nobody wants to talk to you. It's their turn to be mean. Morning, what's wrong with you? Huh? And you want everybody to be nice to you that day because you're feeling guilty for being mean the day before. You made a mistake and now you... Why don't you just go up to the person and say, you know something? I made a mistake yesterday. I was so mean I couldn't stand myself. Went home, I kicked the cat. Huh? Punched the dog right in the mouth. Took the bike and threw it out of the driveway. Took the oatmeal and put it on the kid's head and said, there. And I got to tell you, it was one series of mistakes all day long. Have you ever had a day like that? And I'd like to say, I am sincerely sorry. Why not just say that? Say, I was a miserable mess. How many of you know what I mean? That some days you're just miserable messes. Nothing satisfies you. Every time somebody beeps their horn, they're beeping at you. You want to pull on your emergency brake and get out. Those are mistakes. How many made those mistakes in their life? This week? Today? Okay, we're closing now. I think man's attitude towards his mistakes are various, not only various, but they're peculiar. Some don't even see them. Some will not, refuse to see them. Some see them but refuse to change. Some see them and hate it, but not enough to stop it. Some make the same mistake over and over and say, that's my one vice, that's my one sin, that's my one passion. No matter who it hurts. And I think that's like a very selfish child. Some blame others for their mistakes. Some condemn others and do the same themselves. Some say everybody's a-doing it. But then again, failures are not always mistakes. If we've done all that we can do in a good thing, and because of jealousy or people envy or people treachery, it's failed, it's not a mistake. And so the world may condemn you for non-success. But then, of course, people in the world has not seen the silly old world and silly old fickle people. Not a lot of times have not seen all your efforts, the work, the trials. And so what do they know? They're not behind the scenes. They don't know what's going on. Sometimes we fail because of the odds against us. But we don't lose the war. We just lose the battle. Let us never accept our mistakes as final. Let me say this, and here it is. Let's organize our victories out of a Gideon army of 300, which started out with 30,000. And out of the broken ranks of failure, no matter what the odds, fight on, and the Bible says have confidence in God, a very good God, by the way. And so, that's a little message on mistakes. That's it. You all make them. You're all living with them. What's that? You said on the radio you're living with a mistake? Well, maybe you're two mistakes. Maybe you got a whole house full of mistakes. That's not all bad. There's always room for improvement then, isn't there? Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?
There you have it. That was episode 315, part 2, the conclusion to mistakes. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also subscribe to the podcast at the blog. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog, Twitter, the podcast, YouTube, Flickr, and Ustream. Be sure to join us next Friday for part one of Fear Not. However, if you subscribe, we'll be coming to you. Have a beautiful week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ.
sister said somebody.